Welcome in. Latest episode, that SEC podcast. I'm your host, Michael Braden. Go by SEC Mike on the Twitters. And there he is, the best golfing cousin out there. Everybody's favorite cousin. Shane, how's it going, brother?
Hey, babe, what's going on?
Oh, the portal's open, Shane, and man, is it. It's gone wild here this first day. You know what?
Oh, brother. The gate. You want, what, before we jump into football, Mike, I'd like to point out another retired golf ball. This one behind me, I've got one. You can't see it. You can barely see it up here in the top. That was the first ball to make it 18 holes without being lost.
Oh, wow.
This was the first birdie. Look at that.
Are you going to sign it or anything?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm going to put it in a case. I'm going to make it nice and official.
You should auction it off.
It was a big deal, man. It was a really nice chip. I want to say it's like a fishing store. It gets longer and longer. It may have been 80 yards away. No, I'm just kidding. It was about 30 yards away. And it was pure art. So, yeah, cloud nine. Just when I was about to give it up, Mike, just when I was about to just say, you know, the F this, I'm throwing them into the pond, I'm done. Then you get a birdie, and that's why you keep coming back. But as soon as I get off there, I got 5 million, you know, comments about this guy's hitting the portal. This guy's hitting the portal. Nico's in California. You know, it's like, what the hell happened while I was gone?
Yeah. So we got a lot to catch up on.
Yep.
If you missed it on the channel, don't do it right this second, but wait till we're done. We got a new interview posted. We got John Reed, Fox Sports, Knoxville. Shane, he's dropping some knowledge on what in the world's going on with all the fan base and the reaction to the Nico mania. So go check that out. We had yesterday, of course, Trey Wallace over at Outkick. He's talking a lot of that. So, man, we got you covered over there. So, I guess we got to start with it, Shane. We got to. You already went there. Shout out, yeah. Razor Bass, member for 5 months. He's membered up.
Yes, he does.
Your YouTube are not deleted. I'm seeing them here, Fulton. But the news, Shane, huge news. We've all been on pins and needles. Where will Nico go? UCLA. Oh my God. Now I don't think this is even official yet, Shane. I mean, Colin Cowherd, he's the first one that broke it. I've seen others people say it's going to happen. I've seen other people say, you know, they're negotiating. So who in the hell knows? But we may have reached the point, Shane, where Nico says, I'm going to UCLA or whatever. And he's just putting that to put pressure on UCLA.
Yeah.
Because now UCLA can't say, oh man, we fumbled this one. You know what I mean? So it sounds like that's the case. And again, if you read that, I'll throw that back up there one more time. According to Colin Cowherd, again, he doesn't know what the hell he's talking about. But he says, it's about the Tennessee offense. I was told it's not about money, yada, yada, yada. So I thought this was fun, Shane. Let's look at this dynamic UCLA attack. I mean, they've scored 13 on Indiana. They scored 13 on Hawaii. I mean, we all know Hawaii, that's a powerhouse program. They scored 11 on Penn State, 17 on Minnesota. I didn't know Minnesota still had a football team. Fresno. Well, they got 20 on Fresno, Shane. I mean, this is a dynamic offensive attack. And shout out our guy, Shane Steven Lassen. I asked him, you know, Steven's not a hot taker.
Yeah.
He's not a Tennessee fan. He's, you know, nothing. I said, tell me about this UCLA offense. He says, okay. If they're worried about scheme, check out this UCLA offensive line. He says it's maybe the worst in the Big Ten. First time offensive coordinator, never called plays. And their top two rushers are gone, and four of their top five receivers are gone. So if they're picking UCLA because of the offense, that may be even a worse decision than to pull all these shenanigans they did at Tennessee.
Here we are, Mike. But we're going because of the offense. Has nothing to do with money, you know? It's like me going to China One Buffet. I'm not there because customer service. I'm there because it's the only Chinese buffet that's around me. You know what I'm saying? That's where Nico's at. UCLA is the only opportunity he has and doesn't even really have it. Maybe just shooting a shot so that he could get in there. And the family came out and said, hey, we worked the problem. Tennessee was the problem. So here we are, Mike. It's like a damn, you know, Netflix is going to have its own show after this one.
Well, I'll tell you who deserves one. Who deserves a show, Shane? It ain't Nico. It's Horton Hears You. He just gifted a membership, Shane. This time it was Burnt Orange, Texas. That was gifted. That was blessed by Horton Hears You. So, Burnt Orange, welcome
to the family.
Courtesy of Horton Hears You. One Longhorn to another. How about that? That's how the world goes around. You know what?
I love it. I love his drama, Mike. You know what I'm saying? I know. I probably shouldn't, because usually the portal giveth, it taketh, you know, but man, it's just been an absolute roller coaster here in the offseason. It makes me feel like, pun intended, that it's teed up for a wonderful football season coming up this year.
You feeling confident? It feels like 98, you know, off with the top profile quarterback, and all, you got all these guys that are going to be motivated to prove each other wrong. Is that what you're thinking?
I'm always thinking that. I'm always thinking this is your year, you know what I'm saying, until it's not. And then, no, I just feel like, how many times have we watched some little storyline in the offseason, and then it turns into a thing, and then it gains legs, and then all of a sudden – we're looking at the next guy up, as because this is what's going to happen ultimately, Mike, is Nico will be the cost of comparison at Tennessee. So anybody that has a damn, I mean, you know what I'm saying? Like breath, that knows how to throw a 15 yard out, you know, that can actually connect to the receivers, I feel like will be compared to Nico and ultimately look better. And the Tennessee situation will look better because of it. So yeah, now that Nico's out, I it's so nice not defending the shit play that I saw last year from the Tennessee Volunteers, mainly from the offense, and how disappointed we were in this Josh Heupel system. We were expecting this to be the year that they popped. They didn't, and now we got rid of the culprit.
How about appreciate your corporate duck. You gave us a donation, Shane. Nico went from checkered seats to empty seats.
I saw one said Nico got bruined.
How about this though? This is something to keep an eye on. Again, I'm just connecting the dots here. I don't have any information on this, Shane.
Yeah.
But UCLA, they already paid a quarterback this offseason. So if they're adding Nico, how about this Joey Aguirre, I don't even know if that's how you say it. It's probably not. But he's from Appalachian State, Shane.
Yeah.
Threw for over 7,000 yards the last 2 years. And here's what I asked Steven. What he thought. He says, I like him. I think he's underrated, according to the 24/7 and On3 portal ranks. Big-time playmaker. Good mobility. Off-platform thrower. Takes some chances. He's had too many interceptions, but he would be the second best quarterback in the portal right now. Oh, how about it, Shane? Damn. Give him Nico. We'll take your quarterback. Let's call it an even trade.
It may happen, brother. You know what I'm saying? It may happen. And what a damn, you know, that would be icing on the cake. Him going out there to UCLA, find out that the best quarterback, you just kicked out, basically. So maybe that's why the delay. You know, maybe that's why the delay from UCLA. Can I ask you a question, Mike?
Of course. You can ask me anything you want.
It seems like last week. Is this Ron Rivera's team, right?
Yeah.
Is he UCLA?
I thought he was Cal. I could be wrong, but I think that's Cal.
Yeah. Yeah. I was trying to remember. I couldn't remember if it was UCLA or Cal that gave the ultimatum that they want to fire the coach. And I was just trying to figure out if this was part of that situation.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty sure it was a different one. But who okay. this was the coach, remember, where he came up to the podium and they said, you know, Deshaun Foster, first year, UCLA. He's like, yeah, I coach UCLA. It's in California.
Los Angeles.
Any questions? So that's Nico's coach now. So, again, hey, best of luck to him. You know what?
Oh, yeah. Sayonara. Or as I said the other day, aloha. So let's get on to some real SEC action, brother.
Yeah. So how about this? I was thinking of this, Shane.
Yes.
There's a couple candidates here. Couple candidates. I got some clips here, but I really wanted to hit you with this.
Mm-hmm.
I know we're early. We're kind of early. Not in the offseason.
Yeah.
But who do you think's had the best offseason in terms of, you know, taking a step forward or trying to recap, you know, capture the momentum they had? So we're, you know, I know this is a little bit difficult to do, but kind of like take the blinders off necessarily of, I'm not saying like, you know, Florida won the last four games.
Yeah.
Let's not count that. Let's say, you know, from this, when the season officially ended.
Yes.
I don't even remember who won the national championship. It was the SEC, so who cares? But since that night to now, who do you think is who's had the best offseason in the SEC? Because I think there's a clear answer, but I think there's a couple good candidates.
Yeah, I think there are some good candidates out there. I really – the one that surprised me, I guess, the most was probably LSU, keeping Nuss. Because, again, that was the start of it, keeping your quarterback – going out there in the portal, getting some of the best, forget what on three 24/7, what are you looking at? I just feel like for this team, they really went out there. Coach Kelly took some of his own money and invested into recruiting. And it, I think it really paid off. So that's why this was a football team. I had no expectations. I was not even going to consider them in playoff contention, and Kelly put them right back on the map. So that was one of the ones that really stood out to me.
Yeah, no, I think that's a great one. That was near the top of my list, Shane. I think they're right there. And with all the moves they made this offseason, that's going to get them much, much, much closer to making that playoff appearance, the first one under Brian Kelly. So they're a candidate. I think Florida is a candidate. You know, keeping DJ Lagway, they caught fire in recruiting. They've added a couple portal pieces. Staff caught, or they kicked the old 28-year-old defensive coordinator to the curb. You know, they get the professional in there. These are all things that I like to see from Florida. I think they're a candidate. How about Missouri, Shane, where they've been kicking ass in the portal.
Yeah.
Coach continuity. And, you know, at the time, they added Bo Prabula, however you say his name, and we're like, well, who the hell is this guy? Well, hell, I mean, they've got a wicked head start on someone like Tennessee that's now searching for the quarterback. I think Missouri is a clear winner to where, you know, there's still big questions. I'm not saying they're, like, destined for the playoff or anything.
Right.
But I think they're on much, much, much firmer ground than I anticipated they would be in early January. But if there's one, Shane, there's one who I think is going to take a big step forward, who's had the best offseason in the entire SEC.
Is it a little further west than Mizzou?
Oklahoma. Come on, Shane. I think this is the team we're all sleeping on here. I mean, obviously, we can't talk enough about old John Mateer.
Yeah.
The offensive coordinator, Ben Arbuckle, they've added – safety Kendall Daniels from Oklahoma State, Marvin Jones, Florida State. Satania, Shane, I don't care. He's not lived up to the hype at Arkansas. He's got one of the best names out there. But I think and we highlighted it. Hell, even this was such a big addition, Shane's like, I'm going to start doing damn interviews. I'll tell you what. Jim Nagy hiring a GM to run this ship. I think there's no one that's had a better offseason than the Oklahoma Sooners in the SEC. Am I wrong?
No, and they're still cooking. They're still going, brother. You know, I feel like you just got, one of the best running backs. I feel like this offense is just building and building. And I don't, you know, this spring portal, we talk about the kids that maybe we lose, but I don't think we're done here, man. I think Brent sees an opportunity here. His back's against the wall, man.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, he does not have wiggle room. He doesn't have the luxury to say, hey, six wins is acceptable next year. No, I think Venables is going to make that big step forward. And by God, he's got all the chips on the table, man. He's doing it all right now. So, yeah, I like the moves. I like the coaching hires as well. Something you've not mentioned yet, but I think there were some really good coaching hires as well. So, yeah, Oklahoma went from a zero to maybe something special this season.
Oh, I thought you were going to say hero. I
was just close, but I let's not get too carried away.
Okay. Well, I mean, that was just on the top of my mind. Again, we got another portal window
Yeah.
We're seeing guys go in, but you know, aside from Nico and maybe another quarterback that's yet to come out, I don't think there's going to be, you know, a bunch of high profile guys. I think we've already started to see it, Shane. I think it's a lot of lower level guys that are trying to jump up to this level. I think those are, you know, depth pieces. That's what most teams are going to be getting right now, short of a Jaden Ott that Oklahoma got. And hell, he may be. I think that was a hell of an addition, but he may not even be their starting running back now because they got Tatum. They got the guy that caught fire, Xavier, at the end. I mean, he ran all over Alabama's ass. You know what I mean? But that's what you need. They desperately needed playmakers, and they're getting them via the transfer portal. So I love what Oklahoma's doing there. But how about this, Shane? I thought this is an excellent, excellent point. I did nothing but, you know, aside from recording, editing, and posting interviews. I mean, listen to these coach comments. They're rough. They're rough this spring, Shane. They're not giving us anything to work with. But I thought this was a excellent, excellent point that I think is going under the radar.
Mm-hmm.
Let's go over here, Mike Elko. He was asked about Tennessee, Nico, and all that. He didn't really get into that necessarily, but just kind of the whole culture overall. I thought he made an excellent point here.
If you're ever in that situation, how might you handle it?
I'm gonna keep my. You should ask Marcel if I had any words on how I might handle a similar situation in recent times with him, because I'll probably just keep that between him and I. Listen, we're all on the same page, I think, across the board, right? Everybody agrees that the players deserve something. Everybody agrees that this system has caused this to become what it's become. Everyone believes that the system currently is not working. And it's not good for anybody. I think I heard somebody, I think maybe it was Kirby, say that, like, the long-term ramifications of this, when we look back at this period of what the development of young people looks like 10 years from now, I think we're going to be really embarrassed with what that actually looks like. But again, it is what it is, and so nobody really cares what we think.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know that I've heard it said just like that, though, Shane. But I think we're gonna look back and say, you know, the football is probably not as good as it should be.
Mm-hmm.
And I think who it's really going to kill potentially, and I'm already starting to hear it, is NFL.
Yeah.
Because a lot of these guys are going to go there and they're not developed because of all this constant movement. And again, whether you love it, whether you hate it, I think that's a reality. And it's a reality for literally every program.
And it's kind of wild because truthfully, it should be the opposite way, because I feel like kids are coming into college better developed and prepared, but we're not seeing that. If they could keep that, you know what I'm saying? If it feels like there's a lot of athletes that could hit the NFL immediately, make an impact. Instead, they're sitting behind. Some of them get lost. Some of them get lost in the fold and they never, you know, hit their peak, and you hate it, but they're a product of what they were brought up through. So, you know, you said something interesting the other day on the mailbag question. You were talking about 2 years, a commitment, and maybe that something like that ever happens. I think the NFL will be the first ones to benefit, or you'll notice it. And I think at the collegiate level, you'll start seeing that development. You'll see that improvement. And I miss it because we don't have too many fifth-year seniors anymore, but it was really nice. We took advantage of it when we had it, but now we don't. So
yeah, I mean we'll never know an accurate number on this, but how many guys do you think that transfer within the first year of being on campus, how many you think the percentage wise likely regret that decision later on in life? I would bet it's a high number.
I guarantee there's gonna be. We always talk about shit. I'm 43 years old, you know, and I keep talking about if I would have done this, you know, if I never ate sweets, I'd be all right, you know. But I definitely feel like there's going to be some kids later, 30, 40 year old kids, adults, that are going to look back and have regrets. And what's awesome is this crew that we're talking about right now is the one that kind of speared the NIL, you know, changing the game, if you will. But they're also part of that transition that gets lost in the shuffle. I feel like when the dust settles a little bit, we're going to start getting back on track with development. But as this moment, no, there's going to be some kids lost. And that's the sad part about this whole situation.
Mm-hmm. Well, Shane, you were talking about, you know, all these impact younger players are making and how prepared they are. And I think you're absolutely right. You know, you look at some of these receivers like a Ryan Williams, a guy up at Ohio State, Smith. Mm-hmm. You know, these guys are coming in. They're ready to play. Running backs have traditionally always been that way. But even quarterbacks are playing younger. So I think there's something to be said for that. But check this out, Shane. One, we may be not thinking about when it comes to LSU. We're thinking about Nussmeier going into year two as a starting quarterback. We're looking at some of the transfer additions they've had. Year two in Baker's defensive system. But Brian Kelly says this freshman class, the guys that have enrolled, they're ready to play now. And this is a top 10 class. I'll run through some of the guys they've added, but I thought this stood out from what he had to say recently.
Just something that's, I guess, improved on the most position group here. And second question, your thoughts on Colin Hurley as well, just returning back to the team, returning back to practice and his journey, and just getting back.
Surprises. I just think overall, you know, the understanding of, you know, how to go out and compete in practice it has been really, for me, outstanding for the young guys to pick it up, like the Solomon Thomases and the Carriers Kearns. They've done an incredible job as young players coming in and understanding how to compete. The DJ Pickets, all of our mid-year freshmen have come in and really have adapted so quickly. And I guess that's why they're mid-years, right? I mean, they're so far ahead of their freshman counterparts that it really does show why they were able to graduate early from high school, because they were much more mature. Those kids have done an incredible job of really blending in and showing that they belong right away. They're going to be so far ahead coming into camp relative to being able to compete. That's been kind of a surprise to me. This is the first class that I've had at mid-semester where it's not like, that guy is so far away. It just feels like they've been here, and that's been a bit of a surprise. It was,
and some of the players he's highlighting there, Shane, Harlan Berry, number one running back in the country. He referenced DJ Pickett, number two corner. Carius Kern, number two interior offensive lineman. Solomon Thomas, number three interior offensive lineman, and Charles Ross, number eight linebacker. These are elite prospects. If he's right and they continue their progression, I wouldn't be surprised if some of these guys aren't starting this year. Mm-hmm. And even if they're not starting, making huge impacts for a team that has playoff and championship aspirations.
Yeah. Don't get me sucked in here, man. You know, I have my opinion of LSU, but I swear to gosh, Mike, the more we talk about them, I'm looking at that 8.5. That seems like the best bet on the board right now. You know what I'm saying? If they can get past Clemson week one, I feel like there's nothing that can stop this team from getting back in the playoff mix.
Yeah. If they could beat Clemson, I mean, how could they? I mean, it's a lock, not a lock, but I mean, at Alabama will be difficult. At Ole Miss is a wild card. But again, it doesn't mean they're going to cruise the rest of the way, but they're going to be favored in every game. I think they'll even be favored at Ole Miss. I could be wrong, but I think they will. But every other game aside from Alabama, I think they'll be favored in.
I think you're correct, brother. Except for Bama, they will be favorites in every single game they play this season. And they're sitting there at 8.5. Oh, come on now.
I love this. Cousin Mike says, Shane, milk chugging bet. Remember, you did that last year.
Yeah. And
I thought it was going to be a challenge. You just sit here and shoot, done. We moved on.
Yeah, no, it wasn't a challenge at all. That's like a random Tuesday in my household. So, yeah, what was that? I can't remember. It was Texas A&M being favorites or something like that. But, yeah, I will say this. If LSU is, I don't know, maybe we should start thinking some. We got to get some of them in early. I don't know what you do with LSU. Maybe a dance off or something.
You know what, Shay? That idea.
What's that?
Kind of smells.
Uh-oh. How do you fix that?
ShopBando.com. Check them out. ShopBando.com. Promo code SEC. Get you $5 off a starter pack over at ShopMando.com. Again, that's ShopMando.com. For a starter pack, $5 off. That's 40% off the whole unit, Shane. A starter pack is solid stick deodorant, cream tube deodorant, two free products of your choosing, and free shipping over at ShopMando.com. Shane, clinically proven to block odor all day and control it for up to 72 hours, which is quicker than Tennessee kicked old Nico to the curb. You know it?
Well played, Mike. Well played. You're getting better at this game.
Hey, how about this, though? I thought this was, again, I'm a little bit stretching here.
Yeah.
But Drake, post-spring presser here. Mm-hmm. Not a lot to choose from, but I thought this was kind of an interesting, you know, these coaches, you know, a lot of them you hear kind of the same deal. They got things to complain about, this, that, and the other. But, hell, he says, get this fixed for America, Shay, not just college football. Get it fixed for America. I mean, this... Nothing more American.
Do it for America.
The college football.
Don't do it for me. Do it for United States of America.
You know, I spend a ton of time trying to figure out the new revenue share system and how are you going to divide the money and the cap and what are we going to do for NIL and how do we get to 105? And then yesterday the judge says we may grandfather in roster limits. So, like, I don't know what the crap's going on. And, you know, you waste a lot of mental energy, and I've hurt a lot of players. You know, we told all our guys in December, you know, like, this is what we think the new framework's going to be. And now if they go back to grandfathering it in, it's like, it's just frustrating. Let the practitioners have a say in what we're doing instead of, I'm not going there anymore. But we'll adapt. We'll adapt to whatever they say. We'll find a way. We'll figure it out. We'll figure it out. But my hope is that we understand this is an unbelievable game. College athletics is a worthwhile fabric of the culture of the United States of America, not just football, not just basketball, not just revenue generating sports, but also the Olympic sports. They all matter. And we need to have some sort of governing structure that doesn't have a lawsuit every stinking day. You know, like, I get it, but man, we can't have a lawsuit every single day that dramatically shifts the rules. So we have to have some sort of protection so that we can move forward with a great game. I mean, last night was phenomenal to watch. The Final Four was so awesome to watch. The entire tournament was enjoyable. College football is enjoyable. Watching, shout out to Shannon and our women's gymnastics team, watching with my daughters on Sunday night, our women's gymnastics team qualify for the Elite Eight in the national championship in Fort Worth is phenomenal. Please, 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 whoever's in charge. I don't know who's in charge. Nobody knows who's in charge. Can we get some sort of structure in place that we don't have debt lawsuits every single day that changes how we operate so that we can continue this awesome opportunity that we have for these students to have scholarships to get an education, but also the joy that we can bring to the fan base and to the people of this country.
Fix it for America. I mean, I love that message, Shane, but I think it's falling on deaf ears right now. You know what?
Yeah, absolutely. It always is. But I mean, he's not wrong. I mean, aren't we tired of it? Aren't we just tired as a fan? Aren't you just, well, if that's what it feels like, I didn't get my way. You know, we got kids. People in here have got kids. I'm taking my ball and I'm going home. I'm tailing on you. You know, it's what it feels like. Bunch of tattletales out there. And I get it. We want to make this better for the kids, you know, but then again, there's a fine line. You know, you don't want to destroy an organization. You don't want, I mean, because say what you want about the Nico situation. It could have been any quarterback out there. And if he would have pulled that stunt off in the playoffs, could you imagine? There were people up there. That was their Christmas, man. You know what I'm saying? That was the money that they took from their bonuses, and they put everything they had to see something that may never happen again, an opportunity for their family. And then there was, leading up to this, we have a conversation behind scenes about we should make more money, or I'm not playing. I committed to 12 games, not 13. What the hell is that? You know what I'm saying? It's like, again, you're a kid, but you don't understand there's livelihoods. We talk about this 24/7, man. We love SEC football. We love college football. And I'm not saying that we should go out here and do it for America, but damn, you know, let's not forget what you're doing it for to begin with. You're doing it to play college football. You're doing it to get a degree, if you will. But more importantly, you're doing it for the fans that make this system work, they're the ones that keep the wheels on this thing.
Yeah, without the fans, nobody's getting paid.
No.
All the money's – you can point to TV, but TV's only paying because the fans care, because the fans are going to tune in.
Yeah.
And if they keep pushing and pushing and pushing the fans, I hope it never gets – I mean, obviously, I hope and pray it never gets to that point. But again, if they keep pushing in that direction, eventually it'll get there to where I mean, my best friend in college, he's had season tickets every year since we got out of college.
Yeah.
He didn't have them anymore. He didn't want to, it's getting too expensive for him, you know?
I used to love Chipotle. Then they changed the recipe. And guess what? We stopped going. And guess what? They started closing. Don't beat Chipotle.
Hey, appreciate we got a donation shade from J Mill 843. Van Buren, Michael Van Buren, he would have been perfect for Tennessee. Mm-hmm. Playing in that Jeff Lebby office. Yeah, I mean, hell, I'd love to.
Yeah.
He would be perfect, but he's at LSU now. And maybe he may be a reason why LSU wins a game. You know, God forbid Nussmeier goes down for a series or half or game or what have you. I think they probably got the best backup in the league right now, wouldn't you say? I'm trying to rack my brain of who would be a better backup. Yeah.
Well, I mean, say what you want. A lot of people are excited about old Harrison down there. Yeah. That may be the hot one right now. So
yeah.
Who would any others? I'm forgetting some here, but
maybe Auburn. It depends on how good their true freshman is, how good Jackson Arnold is in that system.
Maybe Bama. You know, we're talking about how good that freshman is, and
right.
Apparently he's not getting the job. So, you know, it's funny. It feels like usually we talk about Georgia and Bama as far as quarterback situations, and it's not a huge hot topic right now, but they got the talent. You know, so who knows? One of those kids may shine, and all of a sudden we're looking at that locker room saying, damn, they've been hiding them boys for a while. So, yeah, that's kind of where I'm leaning right now. But it's hard not to – I watched the Harrison. Here's the thing, Mike. I tried not to buy into the hype because I've done it once. I've been hurt by Harrison. You know, I was expecting great things when he was at the University of Tennessee. And then I'm watching these highlights, and I'm like you. I'm like, man. He does look really good. And then I'm just like, but maybe the defense sucks. Let's go with that. So I'm not ready to commit to good Harrison. So,
well, he had over 300 yards in the spring game, Shane.
I know. That little receiver looked good too.
All right. Hey, last little clip here. Sam Pittman, you know, I listened to all these. I was trying to glean some gems, not necessarily a gem, Shane. But we've been, you know, everybody I talk to, and you're on the same page, I'm on the same page. One thing that could potentially really help all this madness, one portal window.
Yes.
Sam Pittman says, I mean, based on what he's saying, sounds like we're heading in that direction.
Coach, you think that you'll move to a model where there is just the one transfer portal in July and January, I guess?
You know, Trey, numbers being thrown out there, which I don't know you know, if it's going to pass or not pass or whatever. One number was January 2 through the 12th. And, you know, that's a, to me, that's a great time. But, you know, what if you're in the playoffs, just like basketball, and then here comes this. It's not the that the kids will go in the portal. It's the ability to say, if I don't get this, 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 I may not play in the semifinal game. And you got problems, you know. So I don't know when the idea would be, but the one portal window that I heard thrown around was January 2 through 12, and that would be great. Great. You could have Christmas without, I hope that phone doesn't ring, you know, you could be with your family, whether it be in a bowl game or not, and not worry about, you know, who's getting in the portal. And man, it would make life a lot better. But I don't know what the is February 1 till February 12th the best, you know, is that the best time? Well, you can't do that because they can't get into spring ball. They can't get in, you know. So January 2, 12 is what I've heard. To me, that's the one portal. To me, that's the best option right now.
That's music to my ears, Shane. How about you?
Yeah. Where there's smoke, there's fire. And you're hearing multiple coaches say it. It's coming. Something's coming. And I do think one portal is a great idea because it's a commitment. Once you're beyond that window, you're committed to that team. You don't have stuff like this. You don't have to dance around spring practices anymore, which, you know, I hate it for these coaches because I don't think they're getting everything. How can we sit here and bitch and moan about lack of development when you got coaches that are afraid to develop? You know what I'm saying? Like, if you've got a QB1, you need him out there, but you're afraid QB2 is going to leave if you do that. And I feel like that's not the point here. The point is to make the best product possible when we hit fall. So I think one portal kind of opens that up, and I would see more aggressive coaching. And I think the program would be better for it.
Yeah. Cause the more you develop someone, but you don't play them, mm-hmm. they're going to be eyeing somewhere to play too. Yeah. You know what? If they have that option to do it. So, yeah, wild times in college football. A little bit shorter of a show, Shane. That's all I got. You got anything else? Well, again, we got all kinds of extra content on the channel. We got a couple more interviews dropping. One I'll probably drop on Friday because we're not doing a show. And then one on Saturday. So many more still to come, Shane. Anything else before we wrap this one up?
Speaking of dropping, drop this one in today for a birdie. And if you do me a favor, guys and girls, and drop down there and hit that thumbs up, that'd really help us out. So be our birdies. Do it for, don't do it for me. Do it for America.
Yeah, well said, Shane. I guess that's going to do it for this one. I appreciate you. Fantastic to hear your golf game is at an all-time high. Very jealous of you. Appreciate you showing up. Appreciate each and every one of you for hanging out. We'll catch you all the next one.
All right, see you guys. Go Vols. Bright orange.
Hey, buddy. This beer's for you, Mike, and Cousin Shane. That SEC podcast loves the pirate, and the pirate loves that SEC podcast. Hail State.